don't know about you guys, but when we go through all those announcements, just feel a lot of burden thinking about our church family here. But also, it is a blessing that we get to continue and lift people up, and that we have a comforter, we have a father that listens to us. I did fail to mention about the Hunt family. I know Mark and the passing of his father over this past week and traveling. That funeral was on Thursday and Friday, and been praying for you, but I continue to think about your family going through that loss. We could spend all service just praying for one another, and I think it would be a great opportunity that we need to utilize more, just getting it together and pray. And so before we begin our lesson, let's spend a little bit of time in prayer with some of these requests that we've lifted up so far. Hey, Father, we come before you this morning, grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to worship you, lift you up, and exalt you for who you are, what you've done, what you continue to do. We know that you have given us great promises that tell us where our home is going to be when this life is over. While we're on this earth, we face struggles and obstacles. Part of it's the frailty of our bodies, knowing that this world is not our home, and then we're just passing through, and we look forward to the time where we get to be with you for all of eternity. And so while we wrestle with this world and our ailments and struggles and things, that we know that we have a hope in you. I have so many requests, so many people that are struggling right now that although we've mentioned a few of them, we know that there are many more, and each one of us could share times in our lives where there are things that are happening right now, but we're grateful that we have a family here, that we don't have to go through life alone, whatever the struggle, whatever the thing is, but we also get to rejoice together, and so we do rejoice. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Continue to be with us as we study your words, we think together, especially in this times we go into our lesson. We love you so much, God, and we praise to you in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, we are starting a new series. Come up. Starting a new series over the next few months. We'll see where it goes. May not go anywhere for this up here. But starting a new series, we have us guys that are preaching, we've sat down together and thought about some lessons that we can work on and some ideas that I think are really important for us in light of what we're facing right now. Each one of them, we kind of have four of them that are going to be set up for what we're going to approach over the year, seeing where time goes and what is available to us. But hanging on to the idea in a world, we have a lot of opportunities for us to serve the Lord and to work together in this world. But we also have challenges. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in the first part of our year thinking about living in a world of fools and the amount of wisdom that we can get from God, specifically from the book of Proverbs. And what we're going to do, we're going to work through the book of Proverbs, picking out particular topics and studying those and using Proverbs as a hinge, but thinking about how we can take the wisdom that God has given to us and take it to the world that may be struggling with whatever the idea is that we're going to be spending time together. But then, as we go through the year, we're going to look at living in a world of flesh, living in a world of fatigue, and living in a world of flakes, and thinking about how there are so many different opportunities for us to take God's word and share it with each other and be encouraged by it, but knowing that there are many people in the world that don't have God's word, and they can greatly benefit from it. But as we begin our study, I have the opportunity to introduce the topic of living in a world of fools and the wisdom of Proverbs. I love Proverbs. I don't know if you've spent any time recently reading through the book of Proverbs. Maybe you get challenged by it and you start, you know, thinking, all right, I'm going to read through Proverbs. And then you get burned out quickly because it's just one thing after the other topic that kind of goes all over the place. What I like to do is I read through Proverbs. I'll start reading for a little while and I'll pick a topic and I'll see if I can find where it matches up throughout the book. Or I'll just read for a little while and I'll find something that just pretty much steps on my toes and I have to step away from the book and think, wow, that was really challenging. How can I follow this a little bit better? But man, there's so many great things in here. And what we're going to be thinking about just a little bit of time this morning as we introduce what it means to be wise, what it means to be foolish. I want to draw that out for you. When you think about being wise or being foolish, what comes to your mind? Last night, me and the family, we read the passages we just read out loud. I guess is a little bit of primer for me, getting used to this lesson and working through those verses in Proverbs chapter 9, which we'll return back to. So if you want to go ahead and go to Proverbs 9, verse 13, we'll be looking at that. We'll jump, of course, to chapter 1 and look at a few things there. But we were reading through it, and I just asked the kids, What is a wise person? What is a foolish person? Or what is a foolish decision? Without using any names, I don't want to embarrass them, but we just recently changed their room around where we put in a loft bed, which is like a miniature bunk bed, which is enough for a two-year-old boy to be able to find numerous ways to climb on top of it and to jump off. He finds that the ladder is insufficient for his uses, so he finds every way possible to climb up and climb down, which inevitably ends in tears, where he comes running in and says that I have fallen, I've hit myself, I hurt, something along those lines. And, you know, the correct dad response was that a foolish decision? You know, did you make a bad decision? Yes, I made a bad decision. I don't know if you've had those conversations with your kids. You've asked them, was that smart? Was that wise? Maybe we use different terms along those lines. Maybe you've had that conversation with your parents. I know parents in here that have teenagers, you probably have not said, you know, was that smart? Should you have done that? What did you learn from there? We have wise and unwise decisions that we make a lot. And there, if we are honest with ourselves and we're honest with each other, we look around, we make foolish decisions. And if you look at this topic and you think living in a world of fools, you're like, wow. Yeah. I mean, we got people out here. If you pull up social media, you watch anything, there are a lot of people that are doing really foolish things, whether it's a challenge on social media, whether it's some random video or something that somebody has done, you look at that and you say, well, that was just foolish. If you look back over your life, you think, man, I made some foolish decisions. I'm glad that I have learned from those decisions and I've gone beyond those. And I think that's the cool thing about wisdom and what the book of Proverbs does for us. It teaches us how to look at our decisions in life and to learn from them and then go and be better. But if we don't have somebody sitting down with us or something sitting down with us and showing that those decisions are wise or that they are foolish, how can we learn? How can we progress? And that's what we're going to be doing throughout this series. We're going to look at some of these topics that are plain and simple, but can become complex as we work through this world where people are not thriving, are not pursuing, and not hearing wisdom. Our main verse that we're looking at, of course, is going to be in Proverbs chapter 9. And I think it's interesting, as you look throughout the book of Proverbs, specifically in the first 9 chapters, is that it personifies two different people. It personifies wisdom and it personifies folly. And what is happening in this book is that Solomon is writing words of wisdom to his sons. Now, a lot of this is going to be, of course, applicable to all people. But it's interesting as you think about it, is a father giving this knowledge to his sons and telling them, here's the type of person you should look for. As he talks about wisdom, as he talks about folly, and he personifies them as wisdom, he's essentially asking, who's mama going to approve if you bring home wisdom or you're going to bring home folly? Which one do you want your son to marry? Which one do you want to see to be a part of your family? And all of this is working together, and it's good practice for us to see it personified, where it's like, if this person was living in front of us, would we want to be friends with them? Would we bring them home? Would we want to be like them? I think that's what the call of wisdom is all about, and what this book is revealing to us is that it shows us, all right, what kind of person are you, and who do you want to spend your time with? So as we think about this wise and foolish, how would you categorize yourself? Now, would you say, you know what, I'm just a really foolish person, and I just admit it, I wear it on my back, I wear it as a t-shirt, I'm just a foolish person. Well, no, we readily don't admit something like that, although we can look at times in our lives where we make foolish decisions. But we want to say, I want to be characterized as a wise person. But then we're also honest and we think, well, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't look around the room and think, well, I'm the wisest. You know, that would then show a lack of wisdom, right? But maybe we can point to other people and we can think, wow, they are wise and I can learn from them and I want to be like that. And maybe there are times in my life where I have, you know, that bit of wisdom has peeked through and I look back and I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't go this route, but I went this one. I actually used wisdom. Maybe one of our parents comes along and said, well, you did the right thing. Good job. We need that assurance. But as we think about wise and foolish, what comes to your mind? We could spend just the entire amount of time thinking about illustrations, but what does the book of Proverbs tell us? Because that's going to be our hook. That's going to be our foundation here. As I told you, look throughout the book, and it's all about wisdom. We're going to have these, you know, these short statements that tell us what wisdom is or how to have the proper work ethic, how to be disciplined, how to have a good marriage, how to avoid adultery, how to do all this kind of stuff. We're going to be getting into each one of these. But if you're going to use the book as a process to go through, The way that it's written in the first nine chapters is introducing wisdom and folly. But as Solomon is writing these things to us, in the first few verses of the book, he's going to tell us, are you ready to hear these things? I always describe it as a doorway. He's going to say, for you to get the rest of the book, for all these things to make sense, I'm going to give you a threshold, and you're going to have to determine, can you walk through here or not? And there's going to be one particular litmus test to determine if you can go further. Here's what he says about wisdom. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1 and read verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. He said, if you want to read the rest of this book that's filled with proverbs, that's filled with riddles, that's filled with these short statements and all this instruction from a father and from a mother, he says, if you want to get any of this and you want to understand how to do it, here's the key. You ready? Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's it. That's the test. That's the threshold that we're going to be able to walk through. Here's the thing. Do you fear God? What do you think? Okay, well, He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's our Father. We respect Him. We love Him. He brought all things into existence by the word of His mouth, really by wisdom, as the Proverbs talks about. All these things He brought out. Yes, I fear, I respect Him. Okay, if you really do, if you hold God high up and you say that He is my standard, He provides the standard for living, His word is my guidance, whether you know we're looking at Jesus in the Word in the form of flesh, all these things working together, I fear and I respect God, and if He tells me to do something, I want to do it. That's it. He's our standard. He gives us guidance. And if you say that's the kind of life that I want to live, if God tells me what it is, wherever I am in my life, I want to listen and I want to follow, you're going to enjoy the book of Proverbs. You're going to thrive in it. You're going to want to know more about it. But what's the flip side of it? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, you know, we all, when we are corrected on something or somebody brings something to light, we may dig our heels into the ground. We may push back a little bit, may turn, you know, to the side a little bit. But if we're really honest, you know, we can turn back to somebody and say, thank you for having that hard conversation. Thank you for sitting down with me and telling me that. You know, had you not sat down with me, had you not shown me that, had you not prayed with me, I wouldn't be where I am today. You see, that's the difference between someone that is wise and someone that is unwise. Somebody that is prudent and wanting to pursue God and somebody that is foolish. Do you want instruction? Do you desire to learn ideally from everything that comes from God and however that may be presented through God's word and instruction and counsel? That's the distinction between wise and foolish. So it's just a quick little test as we go a little bit further into this. Do you want to learn? Do you want to listen to what God has to say? And do you fear Him and acknowledge Him? Then you're going to enjoy everything that you're going to read. Although at times it may be hard to digest, the reward is exponential. It's going to be a good time as you think about God's Word. You see, somebody that lives a foolish life can be characterized in this way. Foolishness in general is thoughts, behaviors, attitudes, or judgments that lack sense, prudence, and discretion. Of course, there's a lot of different definitions out there, but I happen to enjoy this one that I found. And in line with this, it talks about someone that lives a foolish life, that it may be characterized by immoral or dangerous, self-destructive tendencies, just reckless living. You know, we don't want to live recklessly. You know, think about somebody that is a reckless driver. I don't know if anybody in here has gotten a ticket that had on there reckless driving or going above the speed limit too far. But you think about something that is reckless. It's going above and beyond with no care, no concern, and just living however. That's unhealthy. You don't want to be reckless in your job. You don't want to be reckless in your relationships. You don't want to be reckless in school. You don't want to be reckless in driving. All these things we say, yeah, we don't want to be reckless. That's not a good thing. That's not the type of life we want to live. That's not the type of characteristics we want to have. And so if I want to be wise, I need to avoid these kind of thoughts and behaviors and attitudes or judgments that lack sense, prudence, or caution, or things along those lines, and discretion. And as Solomon is going to personify these things for us. He puts them up, as I said, wisdom, Lady Wisdom, and Lady Folly. And he says, who do you want to spend your time with? I think it's interesting as you go through the book of Proverbs, the amount of times that it talks about a fool. I pulled out all the verses and I was looking through them and I wanted to just read some to you. And I'm not going to have the references up here just because I wanted us just to think about these short statements in and of themselves. So just pay attention as I read. If anybody's curious about this list, I chose 30 just so that we had, if you wanted this list and you want to study through it, it'd be 30 days of learning against foolishness. So if anybody would like to have this, I'd be glad to share it with you. But let's just think a little bit about what Solomon says is foolish living. All right, you ready? The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts it off his own feet and drinks violence. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there's no quiet. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Would you like one a day advice on how to avoid making foolish decisions? Those are just a few from the book. How many challenges did you find in there personally? How many characteristics did you take note of someone that does not live a wise life? But conversely, what is wise living characterized by? I think it's so interesting as we look around our world and we see people that are struggling with coming to a conclusion of the knowledge of truth. It's what it comes down to. And we look at them and we can see, hopefully, where those bad decisions are leading. And we have to ask, what is our response to the world going to be? What is our response? Are we willing to sit down and take the word, digest it, assimilate it into our lives, and then share it with other people? Are we going to sit back and watch their folly overtake them and essentially capture another soul away from God? So as we think about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, we go back to Proverbs chapter 9. And in numerous times in the first 9 chapters that these ladies are personified, but specifically in this chapter, I think it's interesting
the way that Solomon brings this out, he talks about each one of these ladies hosting a dinner. If they were to host dinner, how would they do it? And would you want to be a guest or not? Now, we're not going to spend time looking at Lady Wisdom because I just want to think about us living in a world of fools and think about what Lady Folly has to say and what she does. Once again, let's look at chapter 9, verse 13, and draw a few conclusions from here. It says, the woman Folly is loud, she is simple, and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Here's what I notice and what I want us to draw out from this. If we think about fools and the type of life that would be like, one of the first things that we find in this verse, in verse 13, it says, folly is loud. Now, when you think about being loud or boisterous, and there's different terms that are used in different translations, I think that fools sometimes like to fill silence with words. They just want to talk, they just want to say. And how often does that get us in trouble if we just keep talking? Have you ever looked back and thought, had I stopped 4 sentences earlier, we would not be in the spat that we are in now, or I won't have to clean up the mess that I'm having to clean up now? I think foolish talking and foolish living is just being loud and boisterous and reckless in speech, if not really concerned about where this is going to go. That the opposite of this would be being quiet. Look at what she does in this loud, boisterous way. She sits at the door of her house, she takes the seat on the highest places, and she calls out to people passing by. Come walk with me. Come live the kind of life that I'm living. You see, fools don't want to live by themselves. They realize that they are destructive. Now, they may not say, well, I'm living destructive living right now, but they don't want to be in this alone. If you read the first chapter of Proverbs, beyond where we were in verse 7, he gives advice to his sons and he says, hey, I want you to just watch out for your friends. If you got any friends that come along that say, hey, let's go kill a guy just so that we can profit from this, he said, you might want to avoid friends like that. It's something simple like you want to avoid this collective knowledge or lack of knowledge. You don't want to pursue something like that, that it's loud, it's boisterous. The more that we talk, maybe the more that we make up. If we fill silence or we fill the air with words, probably going to run into wanting to say more than what we've actually got. You ever catch yourself doing that in a conversation? The more that you talk, the more that you extend the truth, the more that you stretch it a little bit to make it sound better, to make yourself sound better. I think that's a characteristic of foolish living. The gift of gab is not always a good thing. If you just want to look at this and judge it from other people's actions, have you ever been in a meeting or in a room of people where something is being discussed or disputed or debated, and there's always that person that sits somewhere in the room that doesn't say anything the entire meeting until right there at the end, and it's something short, it's something right to the point, and it's almost like the whole thing is resolved in that one statement. Have you ever been in a room like that? That wise person that sits there, they say nothing the entire time until something needs to be said. And you think, had you said that earlier, we would have avoided this, the rest of this conversation. That's what I think we need to be aware of when we're looking at foolish living. Avoid things like that. Okay, the next one that we notice in this passage, verse 13, says that she is simple, or she's deceptive in how she's drawing people in, depending on how you look at different translations. But as you go through the book of Proverbs, if you were to look at every characteristic of someone that is simple, they're wanting to entice other people. They're not wanting to get this information. They're not wanting to gain knowledge. And if that is what foolishness is, not wanting to listen to instruction, and if we fear the Lord, we want to hear His instruction, we're not going to remain simple people. But simple living is destructive. Look at, as she calls out to them, look in verse 16 who she's wanting and who she set her sights on. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Just a little challenge. Look at the feast that Lady Wisdom offers. She actually says the same exact thing that folly is saying, but she offers something good. You see, the simple or the deceptive or pulling someone in, what you're offering is stolen bread. Something that looks sweet, but actually goes down to the pit of the stomach and is sour. On the front, it looks like it's a good way to live, but what it produces is unhealthy. Because look at who's actually in her house. She's looking at the simple who are on their way, right? She's looking at those who's walking along the path, who's going on the straight path. But what does verse 18 say about the people that actually come into her house? He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Her house guests, people you would spend your time with, nothing good to them. They've already assigned their future. And then the last thing, a fool knows nothing. Looks like it's got a lot behind it. This kind of lifestyle, as you look at people that are out there doing things, it looks like there's some kind of fulfillment. It looks like it would be fun in this momentary time. It looks like it would be beneficial. But once again, it leads to death. Don't be enticed by this type of living. Don't be enticed by foolish living. And if we can recognize what is foolish living, we can find ways to interject wisdom. This is just a beginning to where this will open up so many great opportunities in our lives to be better. So as we look at this type of living, and we look at these two different ways of approaching life, as we're going to filter through, you know, the topics of marriage and work ethic and ethics in general and adultery and discipline, all these things we're going to use going through the filter of wise and unwise. But let's say that you're looking at your life right now and there's a specific topic that has come to your mind that you're thinking, you know what, I've been foolish in my living. I've been reckless in my life. You know, I say that I'm a Christian, but I'm really getting caught up in some of the things that characterize a fool. I'm letting my mouth do more speaking. I'm giving full vent to my anger, or I'm being divisive, or any of these things that just stuck out in a few little verses that we read together. Can we help you? Can we pray with you? Can we teach you wisdom? First, fear the Lord and go from there. So if I were to give you some advice, if you're struggling with where to go from here, can I give you just three things to provide a remedy for foolishness? You ready? Here's the first thing. Forgiveness is available to you. Regardless of where you've come from, what you've done, God says, I will forgive you. See, Jesus came in, and when we needed it at the proper time, Jesus says, let me pay the price for your sins. If you will humbly listen to God's instruction, submit to Him, Jesus said, I will pay the price of sin. And we can be clothed in Christ and we can rise to walk in the newness of life. That is forgiveness, where you can give up that old foolish way of living and you can live as a servant, a wise servant of God. There is forgiveness available to you. If you've been struggling with something, you say, I know it was foolish. I know that I've been struggling with this temptation or this desire, or I said this and I shouldn't have done that, or whatever it is, there's forgiveness available to you. And as we look around this room and we realize that we're working together, we're willing to forgive as well, knowing that we all make mistakes, but there is hope for us. Number two, remedy for foolishness. If you say, all right, I need forgiveness and I don't want to live that life anymore, here's the thing, you're going to have some discipline in your life. Oh man, learning discipline is hard. Being disciplined is hard, but it's part of the process. Are you willing to put some work into this? Are you willing to look in your life and think, okay, maybe I don't need to have these kind of friends or this kind of relationship, whether boyfriend or girlfriend, I don't need to be around that. This type of job that I'm working right now, it's actually promoting more foolishness in my life. Maybe I'm going to have to make a career change or a job change. I've been making foolish decisions in my marriage. I want to change around. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. Whatever it is, if you've looked at your life and you're saying, all right, I've had foolishness in there, you're going to have some discipline in your life to change that all around. And it's going to take some work, and it's not going to be easy. It's not an immediate fix, but God has something to say to you about it. you will just humbly submit to it. He's going to forgive you, but to actually change the type of person that you are, it's going to take some work. You're going to have to run out of the house of folly, start pursuing wisdom, and then continue to learn wisdom and instruction. Why we get together, that's why we study, that's why we're going through these lessons, so that foolishness can be exposed and we can rejoice in finding ways to bring about wise decisions. My intention in this lesson was just to introduce what we're going to be trying to accomplish together. And I hope that you have found something in here that has been an encouragement. I hope you found something in here that has been a challenge, but at least a primer to whet your appetite for what we are going to be doing as we study this together. I look forward to learning wisdom. But if anybody here is struggling with foolishness, if anybody in here is struggling with decisions and we can help you in any way, please let us know. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. Let us study together. Give us all the opportunity to learn from God's word. That's what a family gets to do. If you're not a Christian, do you want to be in Christ? Do you want to have forgiveness? Die to your old way of living. Repent of those sins. Be buried with Christ. Rise up to walk in newness of life. Living the way that God intended you to live. Let's work on this together. Let's be an encouragement. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing.
I am mine, oh.